Welcome to The Intuitive Home.
All right. Today we're here with Adam Schiff. I met Adam through Facebook. So I've met some of my best friends through Facebook. It's a great place for meeting people.
Love that.
Right? We met through Scottsdale. Yeah. Was it the Scottsdale Small Business Group?
I think so.
Or was it just Scottsdale Living? It was one of those.
It might have been Scottsdale Living, yeah. There's so many. It's amazing how many groups there are here.
Oh, dude, right? There's so many.
I never got into the city groups when I lived in Los Angeles.
And, oh, interesting.
You know, being new mm-hmm. here, I figured I might as well. It's a way mm-hmm. to get out there. So, yeah, there's a ton of them.
I know, right? There's some good ones, too. There's a really good one that's Go Gilbert. They have a ton of traction. They have like 40,000 people or something in there. And
wow, that's big.
I've gotten some like good feedback from posting in there. I've just gotten like, if you need like a recommendation, you'll get like 100 in a day.
Wow.
Like for like a, you know, restaurant to go to or something. And
right. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like I said, being in a new city, it's great to have, get information from other people that have lived here.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe real quick, talk a little bit about, because part of living, honestly, you know, where you live, your home, I mean, that's also set like in the city you've chosen to live in. So like, what were some of the reasons for moving to Phoenix from LA?
So I lived in LA for 31 years and I loved it and it was amazing. And then it stopped being amazing. It's gotten so crowded and busy, and to do anything is just a major ordeal. Just go grocery shopping. It's like, you know, can take you 30 minutes to go a couple miles.
Oh, I can't stand that.
I
get lazy to go like 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, I gotta get in my car and just like drive down there, and it's like, no, there's no traffic or anything. I don't know.
Exactly.
Like that's a big reason I pick where I live is walkability. Like, can I walk to a grocery store?
Sure. No, I love that. No, it just, I mean, I stopped doing things just because it just became such a hassle in LA. So my brother lives here and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. And it's amazing. It's so easy here. I love when people complain about the traffic here because
yeah, you're like,
they
you
don't
know
traffic. Yeah. My office was like a mile from where I lived in LA and it could take me 45 minutes to get home some days.
Isn't that nuts?
It's crazy. Gross. I mean, I could have walked faster.
Seriously.
But, no, I love it here. People are so nice. It's completely different world from LA, at least now. I don't know, in a year or two when everybody's moving.
I know,
when
we get all the LA people.
Yeah. I see so many California license plates now. It's crazy.
Right?
Yeah,
they're flocking over here, which just makes me worried about housing and rental prices, which we're already seeing crazy thing going in the housing market.
The housing market's insane. Well,
there's
not a lot of inventory at all. I mean, a lot of people are now going out, like out of Scottsdale and Phoenix, like towards Cave Creek. I'm doing this amazing house. It's a Toll Brothers house. Mm-hmm. In, I think it's called Sereno Valley. It's right near Tom's Thumb hiking.
Okay. I think I've done Tom's Thumb, but I don't know.
It's like out.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, hopefully people will continue doing that so it won't get just chaotic in Phoenix and this area. But No, it's crazy, the housing market. I have a friend who just got a house. He had to pay $50,000 over asking, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, that's what you have to do now. I just saw a post from someone. She's like, I had this house. I loved it. I offered $25,000 over the asking price and still didn't get it.
Wow.
Unreal. Unreal. What's going on in that?
Yeah. And realm. There's like a lineup of people, like, you know, you're not just getting a couple people in a bidding war. It's like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is crazy. Yeah. I feel like, I think I just read that we were the fifth growing city in our state and now we're fourth. I think we just dropped down.
Not a number I want.
I know. Right.
I want to go up
and get away from that. And I don't want this to turn into
yeah.
that.
Right.
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully, you know, there's enough development that'll fix
right,
it.
Exactly.
I don't bet on that, but who knows?
Yeah.
But okay, so tell me a little bit. Talk about your clients. You do interior design.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about your business, and then you know what sets you apart from some of the other interior designers out there.
So I do interior and exterior, and I started out back in the day. I was actually a set stylist for MTV, and then did clothing, and then I wound up doing Quentin Tarantino was my first big exterior job.
What? Are
And
you serious? Get out of here,
just kind
dude.
of,
That's
no, he wanted a
crazy.
rose garden. And it was funny because I really didn't know anything about gardening at that time, and I learned everything and was really good at it. And his friend saw it and wanted me to do one for them, and it just kind of exploded from there. And then I started doing HGTV shows, which took me to a whole different level.
No
And
kidding.
then going into interior, I had a client who wanted me to do the outside, and she wanted me to do the inside. And I thought, I mean, it's all kind of the same. It's, having that eye and putting things together. So I did it, and
Design is
it
kind of
came up.
design no matter what field you're in. A
It,
lot of the
yeah,
principles cross
sure.
fields,
No, absolutely. And it's the same thing whether it's clothes or, houses or sets. It's if you have that kind of eye, people can go to school to learn like color theory, but I feel like you either are born with that kind of eye, and I don't know that it's something you necessarily can learn and be really and master it. But yeah, it's just something I love. And I think what really sets me apart is I love color and textures and just really different from the norm, especially in Arizona, because everybody's just trapped in browns and grays and earth tones. And I'm finding that clients are done with that and they want color. And color brings happiness, and we're living in such a crazy world, so everybody can
Absolutely.
use some happy color. And it's a passion of mine. I dress colorful. I just love color. And there's a way to do it without it being chaotic and crazy and too much, because some clients are they've never had color before, so they're really nervous of how to use it. And you can just, whether you bring in some pillows or a colorful rug or some art, not everybody could do like orange sofa. But there's tons of ways that are kind of on the safe side to kind of acclimate a client to using color. And the nice part about things like that is if you're bored or you get sick of it, it's inexpensive to change in a couple of years. My new love is wallpaper. I love using wallpaper.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not expensive like it used to be. They've come out with amazing new prints. It's not like my mother's wallpaper was, 60s, 70s kind of stuff. And it's really come a far way from all that. And it's just, I love doing like just a feature wall. I'm not big on doing all walls, but doing a feature wall can really just change the whole vibe of a room.
Interesting. That's cool. Okay, man, there is so much that you just said that I want to tap into and talk about. I'm going to come back to this. Remind me to come back to this because I want to talk about Quentin Tarantino and I want to talk about HGTV. But before we go there, I want to talk about, because you just mentioned, one, I love your passion for what you do and how it like spreads into every area of your life, especially talking about color and like your passion for color, I think is great. So like, how can you use color in other elements? Like, what are some simple ways or simple elements you can add to your home? To make it still feel comfortable while, still making it look good in the way you like it.
So I feel like pops of color for people that are, kind of on the conservative side, that's a great way, whether you just bring in like a cool framed print, or I love taking clients' photos from trips, blowing them up and doing things like that. Especially if they're like outdoors or there's some, fun background. But I have just I've got these letters that I got from the Rose Bowl swap meet that are big cutout letters that are colorful, and I have it spelling out peace on the side of the wall. So even just something simple like that makes such a difference. Or another new thing that I've been playing with is putting fabric on lampshades. And
On lampshades, so just like laying it over, are you like reupholstering it to the lampshade? How's that working?
yeah, basically redoing it, because most lampshades are like grays or beiges or things like that. So I have a huge floor lamp, and I took this beautiful Christian Lacroix. It's like multicolored butterflies, And it was just, it's like a sheer fabric. So I put that on top of the lampshade. And it's just changed. I mean, it's changed the whole thing.
That's
It's
so
actually funny.
interesting. I was actually, go ahead.
I was in Monterey, and there was a huge, massive piece of driftwood that was just sitting on the beach. And it's got to be like 400 pounds. And
Oh.
I made my friend help me take it and stick it in the car. And
When you find
I,
something good, you got to take it. Nice.
yeah, I
That
mean, it's
driftwood's dope
amazing.
too.
Oh, it's so killer. And I turned it into a floor lamp. I mean, it's a massive piece. And it's
Tight.
funny because I think most people would have looked at that and not even, had any kind of foresight to think, oh, that could be cool to use.
Dude, the eye of an artist and a designer. You're looking at everything. You're like, oh, hey, what could I do with that? There's
Right. Oh,
something
I'm
no one would even
always.
take a second thought of, and you're like, I
Sure.
could easily turn that into something dope.
Yeah, no, I'm always looking how to repurpose things or how to make things. I just did a chicken wire light that I kind of bent into like a cool shape and then put LED lights inside with a remote control. It's just kind of cool and funky.
I like it,
Yeah, I
man.
love coming up with anything that's different and unique. I don't like anything that's same old, same old. And especially if I'm working with clients, I want it to be really unique to my client's personality. And I want it to be something that they're not going to see at their neighbors, or you can't just get it in any store. Because what I do is really intimate, because they're living in what I design. And I want them to be sitting back and thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this is mine, and I can't believe I live in this.
Dude.
And I love that guy, Adam.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm right on board. That's what I'm all about, with Relief in my business is building the custom
Sure.
for them so it fits their needs specifically. And I feel like our businesses, I think we may have talked about this for a minute, but like our businesses are similar. Like, I don't know if you know much about UX and UI design, but like UI is kind of the like visual, it's called user interaction. It's like, the icons and the colors and like what you're kind of interacting with on the screen, while you have then user experience, which is kind of like, how is the information architecture set up? What's the overall experience like?
Sure.
Is it intuitive to use? I feel like that's kind of my side and like building kind of some of these custom products, and yours is kind of the more the UI. Now, you do both in either one, right? Like as a user UX designer, you still do a little UI and you want to make it look good, you want to make it fun, something people want to interact with and look at. And as a,
Right.
interaction designer, as an interior designer, same thing. You're also thinking about, how is the experience? How are people interacting with this? Is it, easy to understand and use in the environment?
Sure. Yeah, I know. I think function is really critical. I'm all about everything needs to have a purpose and a reason. I don't like clutter. I feel like when you walk into a room, it shouldn't take energy to be in that room, and your eyes shouldn't go to like a drape pole or something. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
I like that.
Because it does. I mean, I've gone to people's houses, when they brought me in to do a job, and sometimes I'm walking around and I'm just thinking, what is this? And,
Dude, I know, right? Yeah, you're like, oh, the thing's just staring at me and I don't like it. Like, the drape poles, you're like, it's just got these weird ends. You keep looking at them for some reason and you don't even know why, and it's
Right?
not registering, but
Yeah.
you're just like,
Sure.
it's not, doesn't feel right.
No, and like I said, I mean, it takes energy to be in that. And I feel like, especially now with COVID and everything, everybody's spending so much time at home, it should be happy and relaxed and easy. And I feel like everybody needs more of that. So I really try to make sure that everything has a function, everything has a real purpose. And I like to edit for sure. I went to a client's
Edit.
house and just edit things down, because
Oh, okay.
oftentimes clients have amazing things that I'd love to incorporate and use, and but sometimes people just overdo it. I had a client who all of their artwork was hung at the ceiling, like literally the top of the art was touching the ceiling.
Whoa,
And
that's like, was why did they do that? Do you know?
I don't I was I she thought that that's how art should be.
I mean, I guess
And I
it's it's level.
Yeah, it's definitely low. But it's interesting because things like that are very common. Somewhere along the line, she
Really?
picked that up and she thought that that's how it should be. And
That's so
obviously, art should be
interesting.
really more at eye level, and so you
Yeah,
can enjoy it. Because
totally.
that's another thing. If you walk in a room and your art's on the ceiling, that's where your eyes are going. And
Yeah.
I mean, why you shouldn't really be looking at the ceiling? I don't know. It was very bizarre, and it was through the whole house was that way.
That
So it's
is
kind of a
so
trip.
interesting. Like, on one note, I think that could be an interesting design element, right? If you got some like art of different lengths and maybe widths, and it looked like kind of like music, like you know the a sound thing going up and down along the top of the ceiling.
Right.
But yeah, just like random art hanging along the ceiling. That's fascinating. I've never heard of that.
It was pretty funky. I mean, do you know what nanoleaf is? Those lights?
Nanoleaf, you said?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of those.
So it's a cool new company. They have these shapes. There have hexagons, triangles, and I think rectangles maybe. But they connect to each other. So you put them on the wall and you can literally make different shapes. So you can make like a circle or with them, or you can make like just anything. I mean, it's
Wait,
infinite
is it the
with.
triangle ones? They're triangles, is that what you said?
They have triangles. I have the
Okay.
hexagons, but I have it kind
Oh,
of
okay.
along the ceiling and then coming down the side.
Oh yeah, tight. I think
And
that's.
they have like a million different color things that you can set. So that's kind of cool at the ceiling. It's definitely different. But the art thing really threw me.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay, so when how do you balance design aesthetic with like functional furniture? Like, you know, a lot of designers, they make like really cool looking furniture and you're like, that looks amazing. But then you sit in it and you're like, I can't sit in this chair for more than 5 minutes.
Sure.
Like, how do you balance that? Do you, or you know, what's kind of the what are you thinking when you're buying furniture for clients?
So I am definitely the type that needs to sit in things. Like I can't buy sofas or chairs online with you
No,
just
so
need to
risky.
sit, because they can look so cool, but if it's not comfortable, then it's kind of pointless. And I just did a worked with a killer client doing a big DC ranch house, and I found these really amazing chairs that were just really funky and cool, and they were comfortable, but I don't know if it's something you could sit in for hours. But the way that we're using them is like a sitting area off the dining room. So it's something that can function. It can be comfortable for what you would need it for. But I wouldn't put it in necessarily like a living room. And I think form and function and comfort all have to go together with things like living rooms and, things that you're really spending a lot of time in. Here, everybody spends so much time outdoor, and it's really challenging finding great outdoor furniture that's super comfortable. A lot of them are like bricks, and
Totally.
who wants to sit in that?
Yeah, no.
So I think it's really important to at least figure out how it's going to function. But I'd say 99%, I go for the comfort first. If it looks great and it's comfortable, then that's amazing. But if it's just looks great, I really try to stay away from stuff like that.
Right, because then you don't want to be in the room. Like, sure, you have a really cool looking piece of furniture, but then you're like, I'm just never gonna go spend time there. Like,
Right.
it's just again, like kind of like you're looking at like a cool piece of art, which maybe there's something to that, especially if you have like, I know me growing up, I had a bunch of rooms that were no zones. Like, you weren't even allowed to walk in there. My dad would get furious.
That's funny.
So it's like, but there wasn't even, sad thing is like none of the furniture in there was any good either. But like it could, you know, if at least if there's good furniture, it's like, oh, hey, at least get to look at this cool, like, you know, design. 'Cause you're a designer. You're designing something cool. So like, then it'd be worth it at least, you know, but
Right.
you know, people won't want to use the space if it's not functional to them actually using the space.
Sure. And I think part of what my job is to find those pieces. I mean, luckily coming from LA, I have a really broad spectrum of designers that I've used and worked with and am familiar with. But I mean, I spend days, part of my days often sourcing and kind of checking out what's out there and hunting the pieces down. But yeah, like I said, if it's not something that you would want to just lounge in for a while, then it's not functional enough for me. And there's so many great things out there. And I feel like when I first got here, I kind of thought Arizona was really limited, especially coming from LA, but there's there's so many new showrooms opening here. I feel like everything is coming here. So there's lots of options, and I found my like go-to places, and, you know, I have my contacts in each place that kind of knows my aesthetic. And when something new comes in that they think I'd love, they always send it to me and take a look at it.
Oh, nice. See, that's how you do business right there, man. That's it. Building those relationships, that just shows the importance.
Oh, no, absolutely. There's this really wonderful company called Glassissimo, and they do, they can do a lot of different custom stuff, and they do colored glass. So like I got an entry table that has this, it's kind of like a sea blue top. That's just, I've never seen anything like it before. Huh. And they're great because they can work with, they have a whole design team, so they can do, really, if I can conceive it, they can come up with it.
That's cool.
And yeah, those are the type of things that I love using because, again, it's, you're not going to see it at your neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, especially with my high-end clients, they don't want to spend that kind of money and then find out that somebody else does the same thing.
Right? Like, that's what they want. They want that custom thing that's just theirs, that's just for them, because that's like, you know, that's part of keeping up with the Joneses. It's part of having a lot of money is also having a specific thing that no one else can have, because what else are you going to do with all the money, you know?
I don't know. Absolutely. I mean, I worked with a lot of celebrity clients in LA, and it was definitely a challenge because everybody was always wanting what everybody else had. And I like to kind of be the trendsetter and kind of on the cutting edge and bringing in things that nobody has.
But then that's great for your business, because then they're like, oh, how did you get that? And like, oh, he hooked it up. And then they want to go get that thing. So then being the trendsetter is a cool place to be. Sure. Especially if you keep setting the trend, because you're like, well, I'm assuming, like, do you talk to your clients and go, well, you actually don't want that. You want this thing. And they're like, oh, you're right.
Oh, I do that often. Because I feel like with both exterior and interior design, most clients don't have that kind of vision, which is why they hire me. You know, we all do what we're good at. So a part of what I do is kind of teaching them and teaching them how to see the bigger picture and how it's going to be, how it'll look. Because I can walk into anywhere, like I'm doing a new build right now, and I can literally see how this place is going to look finished in my head. And my clients are looking at, you know, a mound of dirt right now.
Right.
So it's really hard for them to kind of have that foresight. And so that's a huge part of my job, is kind of teaching people how to see what it's going to look like and kind of buy into it.
Yeah. Which is
fun.
Yeah. Fun. And also kind of challenging, because you're like trying to explain it and give them the vision and show them, but it's hard sometimes, you know, even when I'm designing products myself and I have the idea of what I want it to be in my head, when it comes out, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's way different than I was expecting, but I like it better or whatever. Sure.
Once in a while, I kind of have to pull the card of, you got to trust me on this. I promise you, this is going to be amazing and you will love it. And I've never had a client in my whole time doing it that didn't like it.
That says something. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, I love what I do so much. I love design. I love everything about design. So it's, I love sharing that passion with my clients. And like I said, the biggest thing for me is I want my clients to sit back and be like giggling, like, this is my house. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Isn't that like that feeling, man? I know even with my, you know, in my business, when I do the standard organizing, and like a client, they're like, thank you so much for your help. Like, I appreciate it so much. Like, you don't understand. And I go like, I do and I don't, but I'm also like, it makes it worth it. You know, it makes doing the work worth it. Like I've learned, you know, it's hard to convey to people sometimes that haven't experienced it yet. Cause I don't know if I'd really experienced it until now, but like that feeling of not just working for the money, but working because you're actually providing value, like a true value to someone's life that's actually helping them out in some way. And they really care.
Oh, for sure.
Then you changing feel like the purpose and the sense of, yeah, of actually having done something, you know, not just like being like, I'm doing this because I have to make money because I got to pay rent. Like that just feels like soul sucking to me. And like now it's like, it feels worth it to be working this hard to make that money, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, my parents really raised me to follow my passions. And luckily, they were very supportive because, you know, creative passions can be, you know, it's not black and white. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be successful. And, you know, it could be challenging. But I feel like that's what I love bringing to my clients, knowing that I'm affecting their lives on a really big level. And I love when they come back to me and they're so grateful and they're so kind about it. I mean, you know, I'm constantly hearing you really have changed my life. And that fuels me.
And it should. And it's,
yeah.
It's so great that it does.
Oh no. Now there's, you know what? I feel like in any industry, there's people that just kind of do what they do. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that kind of take it to the next level.
Absolutely.
And I'm all about taking it to the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so true. And, you know, sometimes a lot of, you'll see this a lot too, is a lot of people get into different professions, not necessarily because it's really their passion, what they want to do, but because that's what their parents did.
Sure.
And they liked it and they felt like a draw towards it, but they really haven't examined like what's for them. So like maybe their mom was an interior designer, so they've always wanted to be an interior designer. And that was like a childhood decision they made and they worked towards that. And then they got there and like, I like this, but it's not what they really want to be doing. So they like, they do it, but they don't do it to the level that you're able to do it because you care so much about it because you found it to be your true purpose and passion and vocation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of people do, you know, the safe thing to, you know, for stability and to have a paycheck and benefit. And I did that for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was lucky enough to kind of fall into this. And then it just kind of kept expanding and expanding. And I mean, it's nice because I'm always getting challenged and I'm trying to always do bigger and better things. And I love doing things that I've never done before. Because I think that makes me more well-rounded. And I'm way past being safe in my life.
Right. What's something recently that you've done that's that kind of pushed you out of your comfort zone and was something that you hadn't done before?
So I just was working. I don't tend to do too much construction. I usually work with a contractor and we'll kind of do it in tandem. But this one job I just did, I kept talking to the client. He had 3 extra bedrooms and I kept saying, why don't you let's take down a wall and let's make this into like a really major guest room. Mm. And I had never done that before. And it was definitely outside of my realm, but enough in that I kind of knew that it would be amazing. I could see it. And he really did not. It was challenging for him. And it changed the whole thing. We put in the old floor was like this dark, dark wood vinyl. There was one little window and opening it up just brought so much light. I mean, it's beautiful now. And that was something I'd never done before. So, and now after doing that, I'm now doing this new build, I've never done from the, you know, ground up like this. So, you know, normally people will bring me in to redo finishes or changes or, you know, get new furniture, whatever the case may be. But this is literally, my fingerprints are going to be on every aspect of this house. And that's just amazing to me.
Yeah. That's exciting. Wow. How cool.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's going to be next level when it's done.
Yeah. Now, where do you, like, when you're doing that, like, where do you start in the process?
So it really depends. Like for the projects I'm working on right now, I just started with a client yesterday. He just bought a new house. The house was probably redone, I'd say the late 70s, early 80s, and it really, really looks like it. So we're going to go through and we're going to have to redo everything. The bathroom needs to be completely gutted and basically started over. It needs a new life. It needs to be brought current. The new build I'm doing, that's going to be like a year-long project. So that's, we'll be doing in phases. Like right now we're picking all the options and finishes and, you know, flooring and all that kind of stuff. I just got this wonderful client. She's a really sweet lady who moved here from LA, and 3 days after getting here, her house burned down.
Oh no.
I know.
Oh,
and she's the nicest person. So excuse me, with her, I just want to give her joy and happiness. And, you know, I mean, we're really starting over. There's not even walls, it's just framed. So that's going to be another biggie. That's going to be a long process. But for her, all I want to do is make this easy and make this just a really happy new experience for her because of what she's coming out of.
And ooh, man,
I
to lose
know,
your whole
right?
home. Ooh,
Yeah.
jeez, I can't even imagine.
And 3 days after after moving into
Yeah, right?
it,
Be like, I'm in, I'm set, oh, this is exciting.
right?
And then it's gone.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, I guess we're starting over. Ooh.
Yeah, I
Ooh.
mean it's really nice because she's very receptive to me, and I'm a very positive person anyway. So I have a lot of high energy, and I'm really trying to spread that with her. And I know she, I mean, she tells me all the time, "You changed her life." And again, that's another reason why it just fuels me and it adds to my passion because I love making a difference. And I think, you know, on any level, we affect people every day that we come into contact with. So I try to bring my little brand of joy in everything I do.
You're great, man. That's so spectacular. Just your positivity and, you know, your ability to keep that positive, upbeat attitude is just, you know, you could almost create a whole course on that.
I know, right? I mean,
Consult
it
on
was, I
that,
got it.
man.
Sure, I got it from my own experience. I mean, I came to a new city where I really didn't know many people and had to build my business, and then COVID hit. So I had two choices. I could either like go in the corner in a fetal position and freak out, or I could, you know, change my life and do everything that I could to make it better. And that was what I chose.
That's dude, that's an important perspective that I don't think is talked about enough, you know, is
Sure.
seeing, I mean, it's talked about a lot in like self-help and whatever, but it's still, you know, seeing it in practice like you just did or were able to do is like, okay, here's this thing that's happening. I can either freak out and, you know, scream and flail my arms and curl up into a ball and do nothing, or
Right.
adapt and adjust and take it head on and do something about it, which you were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's the only option. I mean, I'm single, I'm by myself, thank God I have my dogs. But I being happy suits me. I don't waste a lot of time being unhappy or sad. I mean, I certainly have my moments, but I bounce back really, really quickly. And again, you know, it goes back to my parents and the way they raised me to appreciate the good things and appreciate my life. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to come back and be reincarnated, so I want to do everything right now and have a great experience. And I love sharing that with other people, whether it's what we're doing or with clients or even just, you know, when I'm checking out of the grocery store and, you know, saying, "Hi, how's your day?" Anything that we can, anything I can do to just make this world a better place in my small way, I like doing.
Again, just a remarkable outlook and outset. Now, I'm a little curious. And obviously there's a bunch of factors that have played into that mindset. I'd like you to talk a little bit more about achieving that mindset, but what about your home do you think, like, about your living spaces allows you to also have that kind of perspective and an attitude on life?
So, in my own home, I'm really eclectic. You know, I'm sitting around looking at my living room right now, and I've got like a funky fish tank with some cool fish. I've got my plants. I've got my dogs. I've got all my pops of color, and it's very comfortable, and that keeps me in that happy place. You know, when I'm having a tough time, I'll sit outside in my garden, and which I've spent a lot of time in the past year. And those are the ways that I kind of keep myself going and keep the joy running through me.
Fair enough. So garden, you like gardening.
You know what? It's like I said, I mean, I fell into it, and it's so amazing to take the time, watch something grow, and I mean, it's just an amazing experience for me. Like just sitting out there, and like I'll sit out in my yard and just do a little work, you know, whenever I am. Want to get outside. And because I'm not really going out during COVID and everything, that is my happy, safe space. And it's just amazing. I mean, every day I go out there and I see new flowers, or all of a sudden, all these hummingbirds have been coming and stealing moss from a basket I have. I'm assuming they're building a nest. But those kind of things just, I don't know, that makes such a difference to me. And I like being able to appreciate those little tiny things because they bring me joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to create those spaces and that way of living in your home. I mean, I think that's a good tidbit for people to take home is, or take to mind, take to heart, is create that space for yourself. That's kind of that like getaway.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be huge. It could be, I'm trying to think of people who might have like, well, just taking the guest bedroom, pushing the bed over a little bit and, making like maybe a little nook, like a reading nook, if you like reading, that kind of, especially sure. with like a bigger family, that allows you to go and get away and kind of gives you your area and maybe put some plants there, like you're talking about, that you can water as you go and do it. But I think finding that space, especially in COVID times where you're quarantined at home.
I think that's, what we definitely have in common, because it's kind of what you do as well for your business, organizing and kind of streamlining things. And I think it's really easy for people to fall into major clutter or have piles around their houses. Mm-hmm. I see it almost every time I go to a initial consultation.
Mm.
And I think it's because people, I don't know, I think they get into a funk and it's just, they just start making these piles. And I think when you attack that and you, whether it's you with what you do with organizing or me with designing, those are those things that just affect ourselves and people on a daily basis. And, again, I can't stress enough about how we're in this crazy world we're living in. And I want to make sure that my living space and everyone around me is happy and easy. We all need much more ease in our lives.
Without a doubt there. I was actually just thinking about, I was going to say something else, but I'm going to say this now, I guess. I was just thinking about today, like, my company doesn't have, I haven't been able to find the right slogan yet for the company or like, tagline. And I was kind of playing with the idea of doing, we make things easy for those who like to play on hard or something along those lines.
Interesting.
Something along those lines. We make like easy for those that play on hard.
Right.
Life is so difficult. Like there's so many things coming at you. You got to do this, you got to do that. You got to stay alive. You got to eat. So I try to make things easier for myself and other people everywhere that I can. So like it makes the other harder things more manageable at least. Right.
Oh, for sure. I think perspective is really, really vital. Being able to step back and really see, like, is this really important? Does this really matter in the grand scheme of things? Is this just a blip and something I'm not even going to think about in a year? So it's like evolving and learning and becoming an adult. And I think it's really, that's been something that I've learned. Because when I was younger, something could really affect me and in a huge way. And now I can step back and look, like, I know my worst case scenario, if I lost everything and everything came crashing down on me, my worst case scenario is I'd have to put everything in storage and go live with my cousin. And if that's my worst case scenario, I'm still ahead of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's a very stoic mindset right there. That's a stoic perspective to take, which.
Yeah. I mean, it helps me. It's, because, sometimes we get things come out of left field and hit us. And I mean, look at COVID. This has been insane. Whoever saw this coming? And, a lot of people try to plan and you can only plan so much. But then these things come and, you got to step back and you can have your moment of freak out, but then you got to step back. And I like to sit in my favorite chair, sit in my garden and just remember all the great things. And like I said, looking at whatever my worst case scenario is for me, those are always, not even a big deal.
That, exactly.
I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. I'm still healthy. I'm still here. And that's, I think, at the end of the day, what's really important.
No question. No question. And that's, I mean, when you typically that helps you ease worry a lot. It's like, oh, if that happened, this, I could do this, this, or this. Those aren't terrible. Sure. We can get through it. And if I want to really get here still, I can make those moves while I'm there to get back to here. And then it's like, okay, well, this isn't as big a deal as I've been making it out to be. And then, I think potentially some the best plan you can make is setting yourself up to be adaptable to whatever situation comes at you. Especially about, you know, when you own your business and you're an entrepreneur, there's likely always going to be some fire that's going to happen. Like, it's just the nature of the game. And you can't freak out at every fire, or else you're just going to always be freaking out. So you got to learn to be like, be calm and just deal with finding the right water or an extinguisher to put out the fires in order of importance or size or whatever, right? You got to start thinking like, how do we really put out these fires? And then you get the fires put out, and then you know, it's just another day, you know, you're just getting used to it.
No, absolutely. Just to go back to design for a second, I was working on a project. We don't know what's behind the wall. And I'm doing this, we're installing this lighting, this gorgeous lighting.
Oh no.
And it turns out that there's a water line up there that nobody knew about. Uh-huh. And there's not an attic on this house. So we had no way of knowing until we broke in. And if I panic, my client's going to freak out and panic 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. So I have to be like the voice of reason. And, you know, we'll figure it out. We have to, like you said, adapt. And that happens all the time. Because you just don't know, especially when you're remodeling, you don't know what's back there.
No. And like, sometimes, like, you know, you have an old set of plans or something, so you can't be
sure.
100% sure. Sometimes you're just not 100% certain what the wall is. If you even have the plans, some houses you don't even have the plans. So you're like, well, let's see what happens, I guess.
I don't know, completely. And plus, I mean, there's so much that really is out of our control. So I try to do everything I can to manage what is in my control. And then anything else, I kind of do have to roll with it. And then I have to find a solution. I had a client right now because of COVID, lead times for furniture is like 16 to 18 weeks, which is really long time to wait. And I had a client who waited 18 weeks. The sectional came in wrong. And after waiting 18 weeks, they were freaking out and furious.
I bet.
And we really, I mean, there was not much we could do. So I talked to the company. Mm-hmm. I had them send a sectional for the time being until mm-hmm. they were able to fix the new one. Mm-hmm. And the client was thrilled because they didn't even think that was a possibility. And it was, you know, it was the only option. It was either that or you don't have anything to sit on for 18 more weeks. And it
that's
actually
some quick
worked
thinking,
out.
Man.
I mean, it's, you know, sometimes things happen and I think those things are not always, you know, I don't think they're always intentional, and people make mistakes and I've made mistakes, and, you know, we have to just figure it out and go with it, because again, life's too short to like start getting crazy over things like that. It's a sectional.
Exactly. You know? Like, you're fine. You can't sit on the floor. Humans have sat on the floor
right,
for centuries.
Exactly.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that are losing their houses right now, living in cars.
Right.
Let's not freak out about the sectional that was wrong.
Right.
That, you know, you had the money to even spend on it.
Right.
So I think being able to roll with things in all regards is really crucial, especially mm-hmm. in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. So, what's a weird thing you have in your home that you love, but most people might not totally understand or get?
I think something funky that I have is I found these amazing head vases. They're really large. And I thought that would be really cool to grow a succulent out of. So I have these like long succulent stalks coming out, and people, every time people see them, they're always kind of look sideways at it. I think it's super cool. Uh-huh. And now I've had them for like 10 years. Uh-huh. I just saw them in a store and someone was doing the same thing.
They took your idea. You need a percentage.
Yeah, exactly. But I I'm way outside the box. Uh-huh. And I'm way more on the funky side. You know, I have a major addiction to funky pants. Lutz magazine actually wrote a blurb on me, Adam from LA with the fancy pants, because I wear colorful textured florals and things like that. And I definitely, it's so interesting to see how people react to me everywhere I go, because most people mm-hmm. don't feel secure dressing like that.
Right. It's very identifiable, which is, there's a cool thing to that, right?
I mean, I don't do it for other people. I do it because it makes me happy. And it's funny because my brother loves to walk. We I was dragged into the theater and stuff. And we went and saw a show at ASU Gamage, and I walked in wearing these bright floral pants. And literally the entire place turned and looked at me. And my brother loves standing behind and watching people's reactions. But I always get positive feedback. When I first got here, because I am really funky and different, and I didn't know how it was going to be. I might have told you the story, but I didn't know how people were going to react to me here. And I was here a couple weeks, and this big, like 6'4", rough looking cowboy was walking towards me, and I saw the gun on his hip, and he's looking me up and down, and I'm thinking, please don't mess with me. Please don't mess with me. And he gets to like 3 feet from me, and he's like, I might have to steal those pants while I'm at it. I might have to take his shoes.
That's
And
all
I
it
thought,
is.
okay, I can live here. This is awesome.
Right? You never know who you're gonna get in Phoenix or Arizona, which is why I love this place, man.
No, it's great. But again, it's just another way that I affect the world. I mean, you can't look at my pants and not smile because they're amazing. And I can carry it off.
Yeah, right. You can pull it off. That's great. And like what I was getting at, earlier a little bit was it's really the effect of the pants is cool. Like you're not wearing them to get attention. You're wearing because you like them, which probably adds to the attention you get because you're very wearing them very confidently and not like look at me, I'm in these pants. You're just like I'm wearing pants, and everyone's like, I love those pants, right? And but like they're just an identifiable thing, which is a cool like extra bit to the pants is now you become very recognizable. Like there's this guy Randy Gustafson. I don't know how to say his last name exactly, but he works for the ACA, right? Arizona Commerce Authority.
I don't know.
Or is it the Commerce Commission? Uh-oh. I don't know. He works for one of them. He's a really cool guy. He helps put on what's called the Southwest Innovation Challenge, which is where startups compete against each other and get, some money to build their thing or whatever. It's a cool event, but he wears these very kind of same style shirts where it's like very identifiable shirts. And so like every time you're at a networking event or whatever, like you pay attention to him.
Oh,
Right?
for
Out of
sure.
everyone else, you're paying attention to him because he's got this thing that's like making you look at him, which is just like, I think another little thing. And like, that's something I'm not as flashy. That's just like not, and not saying I'm like not flat. I'm just like, I don't like wearing as flashy floral kind of, clothing, but like I do mind him. I have my own kind of little thing, which I have it's on all my social media profiles. It's the shirt with the little emoji on it. And I get kind of that same effect from that shirt because people like it. It makes them look at it. They're like, that's different. It's also just a single patch on the shirt. And they ask about it. And I have like a little story, where I talk about how I just don't like Hollister. So I covered it with a
That's funny.
patch. And it stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid, is why I chose the kiss. Plus,
I
he's a little
love it.
flirty for the girls, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's become part of my persona. And it's funny, speaking of networking events, I've actually, before COVID, I was going to network events and I had people coming up to me saying, are you Adam from LA? And it was like, okay, this is becoming a marketing tool.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. We're just getting a cool consolation prize for wearing the pants.
And it's funny because normally I can be kind of shy, which nobody ever believes because then I pop out with my, pink flower pants. It's definitely a conversation starter for sure.
That's interesting. I'm actually curious to see when I get to finally visit your home someday. I want to see the pant drawer. Or do you hang them? Are you a hanger or are you a drawer
I
person?
hang them, and I actually have I have a closet that is just pants. I think I probably have about 170 of them right now.
Damn, dude.
I
I
know.
got to see
And
that
I,
because that's got to be a sight to see in and of itself.
oh, it's amazing. I mean, most people won't see me wearing the same pair of pants for either probably a year. And then I just reconnected with a friend of mine from college who used to work for Isaac Mizrahi as a designer, and she and I connected. I have tons of fabrics. And she was like, I can make them into pants for you. So I
Oh,
literally
no
just
way.
yesterday, I sent her a huge box of fabrics with a pair of pants that are like fit me perfectly because she doesn't live here. So we're kind of talking about maybe collaborating and doing a business out of
No
this.
kidding.
Yeah,
I
so
mean, you
this could
love
be
the
a
pants.
whole.
Why not, right?
I mean, I'm a walking billboard.
Yeah.
There's a company that the company that makes most of my pants, it's Mr. Turk. And I have gotten them so much business because I wear it in all my social media. I wear it everywhere I go.
They need to give you dude, you need to talk to them about getting an affiliate link or something.
I know, right?
Come on, when are you doing that good for them?
Dang. Exactly. And it's funny because I actually got a sewing machine thinking that I could make them myself. Uh-huh. And I couldn't even thread the bobbin. So that didn't last. Like I'm good at figuring out like what kind of fabrics to use, and I'm great at the business and marketing side. But it was perfect timing to reconnect with her because she can do what I can't. And together, I mean, this could be an amazing new business.
All right, I like it, man.
We'll see.
I'm all about. I have a dream to make my own pants someday too. I add my own pocket to my pants. That's a phone pocket that's like right on the side of my thigh, because I hate like leaning over to get my phone, or like it's too tight in my front pocket.
Sure.
I have an organizational system to my pants and the things I carry. So, but like I have a bunch of other pockets I'd like to add, so I don't have to have bulges and pockets in every single item's easily accessible.
Right, totally. I carried a wallet forever, mm-hmm. Till about a couple of years ago, but I just couldn't keep it in my back pocket because it was throwing my back off.
That's why I moved mine, is I moved mine to the front. I also like kind of wanted to get my phone away from my nuts a little bit. Apparently that's not an issue, but just in case, like,
right?
Let's give it a little bit more space. I guess I'll get ass cancer rather than ball cancer, you know?
Right.
But
that's hysterical.
But yeah, but same, like I heard about the, you know, just, you know, wallet throwing off your spine by sitting on it. And so I was like, yeah, so I moved my wallet to my front pocket.
Yeah. Oh no, I was getting back issues, and I went to the doctor, and he was like, show me your wallet. And of course I had a fat wallet. Mm-hmm. Back then I had like pictures in it, mm-hmm. and so much crap. And he was like, stop wearing that for a week and give me a call. And that's what it was.
No kidding. Wow.
So now I don't even carry anything. I just have one of those credit card holders in my iPhone case.
What a doctor, by the way, too, though, like for calling that.
I know.
And like starting with, you must see that a lot.
I'm sure he does. Well, especially, I mean, back in the day, you know, before iPhone cases and all that, most people did carry wallets, and then they carried pictures of their families in the wallets and your credit cards and your mm-hmm. money. And, you know, this is, you know, before Apple Pay and all that kind of stuff. So I remember my dad's wallet was probably like an inch and a half thick, and he was carrying that around his pocket. That's crazy. Oh,
my dad's to this day is that big.
Yeah. I mean, that'll throw off your whole everything.
But he always puts his in his front. He's never done a back pocket person.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting close on time. I want to respect your hour here.
I was worried an hour was too long.
I know you were, and I knew you didn't need to be. I was like, he'll be fine.
That's funny.
We're going to need more time, I bet. Okay. So we're going to do two quick ones and then kind of the send off question.
Okay.
What has been the most useful purchase for your home that you spent less than $100 on?
Let's see. I think I got crazy with Hue lights.
Oh, dude, me too. I'm about to buy all the ones for my kitchen. I love them so much.
Amazing.
They're so worth it.
And it changes the whole vibe. I mean, you know, I think when I first got them, they were like $50, and I think I got two of them.
Looking the other day, they're like $140 now. I'm like, it was like only $100 or something when I was looking last time. Like, geez.
it's such a game changer. Plus you can create set or like scenes with them.
I love that.
So having like color
lights. I know you love color, but I'm with you on that one. That's where my color comes from at night.
But you know what? It's funny because between that and between mm-hmm. the nano leaves, mm-hmm. it changes my vibe when I'm sitting in the room, and just that kind of color brightness. I don't know.
I agree.
It lifts me up.
Same.
So I would say definitely that is probably one great thing.
Dude, setting the mood and like it makes my place feel so much more comfortable and so much more mine that I like get a select of my color, and like the way I have my lamp set up is pretty cool. And then also like the comfortability I make at night from it, where they like dim off and kind of do the sunset for me. So, cause I don't get a natural one, cause I go to bed so late, and it just like coasts me off into bed.
They have these new lights. I forget what they're called, but it's like for people that have like, I think it's called SAD. that they don't do well in like winter months.
Yeah, I had
I
that.
can't remember what the name. There's a light, like a specific light. It's
Really?
like a funky word.
Hmm.
I can't remember what it is, but people are using that. I mean, it's amazing. Lighting can change our everything.
It really can. Lighting is
Yeah.
so important and so vital to an experience in a home. And like, if you really pay attention to lighting, it's, well, first of all, if you want to be in any kind of art field, light is like the place to start. Like, I wouldn't even start with the
Sure.
skill set. Start with understanding light and like its direction, how it casts a shadow. And then you can do so much. It's in photography, any design field, you're just thinking about lighting.
Oh
And
yeah, lighting's amazing.
yeah.
Even outside, I mean, it's like doing up lighting, like next to a tree. I mean, it just makes it dramatic and cool, and
Absolutely.
yeah, things like that can make major differences.
No question. Okay, next question. What do you love in your home that you spent more than $1,000 on?
So I have this amazing, huge leather swivel chair from Ted Berner. And I think it was like $4,000.
All right. All
And
right.
it's so classic. It'll always be in style. It's super comfortable and it's killer.
Love it.
And that's probably, to be honest with you, I think that's the most expensive thing I've have.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really good hunter for pricing to begin with. And I
Same.
feel like for everybody, design shouldn't be like only for the wealthy. Everybody should be able to afford killer design.
I totally
And
agree because, dude, I go furniture hunting. I'm like, dude, I can't, It's so hard to find like good looking furniture. I mean, also for me, I'm really specific, but there's still like,
sure.
I'm like, why can't I find something that's good that's like relatively affordable? I mean, I just got a, well, Wayfair is not bad. I found a good, I actually just, my new bed frame arrived, I think during this call. And so
But
I'm,
yeah, what I was saying is I mean, I love doing high-end budgets just because it gives me more freedom. But I especially like working with clients who don't have huge budgets because I want them to have amazing design. And I really do believe that everybody should be able to afford to have great design.
Yeah, oh yeah,
So.
absolutely. Absolutely. I think it just again, it just makes your house so much better having a good design aesthetic
Oh,
that
for
fits
sure.
you know?
Yeah, and there's easy ways to do it without spending, without breaking the bank.
Absolutely. Cool, man. Well, I think that's good for today. It's been a great
Perfect.
chat. Oh no, dang it. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you have 10 more minutes? Is that okay? Tell me about Quentin Tarantino.
I feel like that's probably the biggest question that I get asked most of the
Listen,
time.
I get it, but like I am a Quentin, like I'm like a suit. I wouldn't say I'm quite a super fan, but like I'm definitely a film buff, and like Quentin Tarantino is probably
That's
my
so
top
funny.
five directors of all time for sure.
So we met totally randomly. He was really good friends with someone I was dating, and we were all hanging out. And somehow the talk of his rose garden or him wanting a rose garden came up, and I was like, "I can do it! I can do it!" And I literally had to learn everything about roses on the internet.
What a
But it
bold
was.
move on your part, though, to be like, I don't know, but all right, I'll take that opportunity. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely I'm always pretty much that way. But it was crazy driving to his house for the first time because he has the Pussy Wagon in his
Does he
driveway.
really? Come on, that's
Yeah,
so cool.
yeah. And it was kind of crazy. I mean, he's exactly what you think he is. He's a total lunatic. But I feel like some of the greatest creative souls are total lunatics.
Absolutely. There's, some. All right. So we had a little mishap. Recorder died. That's on me. Got a fresh batteries. New tool, learning the new tool.
Right.
But you're talking about Quentin Tarantino. He has the pussy wagon.
Is the Pussy Wagon in his driveway, and it was, I mean, just driving up. I mean, just go. I mean, I had known him already, so I wasn't like stressed about meeting him or anything. But still, from having him as a client, it was like, this is a big deal. And I was really young. I mean, this was a long time ago. And yeah, and when I drove up and saw that kind of changed everything. It was kind of funny.
Was he hard or easy to work with? How was working with him?
I mean, he's not like a normal, typical person. His brain is always going.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I never had a client like that before or after.
Really?
And I've definitely worked with some, big celebrities and some cool people, but he was definitely, he's, like I said, he's everything you think he would be.
I don't even know what I think he would be. I mean, I
I think
kind of do.
he's, I think he's mellowed out a lot as
Yeah,
he's gotten older. Like
probably.
it seems like the past couple of years, this was like back in the day when he was like huge and it just hit like, well, Pussy Wagon was that was from the first movie, right? Or was that the sequel? I can't remember now.
That was, yeah, I think that was the sequel. Yeah, because that's when she's first getting out. I think it ends with her like going into the, like dying or whatever and going to the hospital. And then
Yeah.
she like starts by getting out, and getting out with the pussy wagon, I think.
That's so
I don't know.
funny. Yeah,
One
it was.
iconic
I have
quote.
a picture of it somewhere.
Yeah, how could you not keep that though? If I was
Yeah.
him, I would
Oh,
have kept
yeah.
it too.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a trip.
That's dope, man. Cool. All right. Yeah. So again, like we mentioned between our break, we're gonna have you back on and talk more about celebrity stories and
Perfect.
tell us more about what's going on and other aspects of design in the home.
Awesome. I love
Again,
it.
appreciate you coming on. Before you go, if someone wanted to hire you or get in contact with you or tell you they love you, how could they reach you?
So the best way is my website, which is Adam P. Schiff, and that's Adam P as in Paul Schiff SCHIFF.com.
Okay.
Or Instagram, Adam P. Schiff, and Instagram is I've been using that a lot lately, so people can find me there too.
Marvelous, marvelous. Cool,
Awesome.
man.
All right, well, thank you so much. This has been great.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I did too. Appreciate you. And I need to come up with a good sign off. I don't have one right
Yeah.
now.
You're gonna have to
But
come up with your like
I like
regular.
what?
You're gonna have to come up with like your regular, like your thing.
Well, the one I was using to like start the podcast on my other podcast is I would start with Super Profundo on the early eve of your day. And that's one of my favorite sayings from a Richard Linklater film,
I love it.
Waking Life. It's one of my probably my favorite movie. And it's just like a meaningless nothing that's kind of like a greeting.
That's funny.
Right? So I guess that's how I'll end
Love
it. But all
it.
right,
All right,
man.
perfect. All right, have a great rest of your day. Thank
You
you.
too.